Alright, so we left off with questions about Makom Nezek. But this is the real Makom Nezek, where you're paying for a permanent loss, permanent damage. Right? And the Gemara is in two places, on Chaf Vav and Beis, and it's also on Pei, what is it, the bottom Pei Hei? Yeah. To Pei and Beis. So it's really about all the cases. The question whether you chayev in any of them, the Makom Nezek. Just learn it out from either Tsar or from Ripoy. But there's a you need the drasha. Without the drasha, you might say if you did a ma'aseh Tsar, you pay Tsar and all the others. But if you did Nezek, then you only pay Nezek, right? Yeah. So what is that? Rashi doesn't really give much of an explanation, right? It's not. It's difficult to. What about Tosus? Does he help anymore? With Flame Shah, he's saying that. What he's saying, just shot wise, saying that Kaviya and Chabura, those are the definitions of a certain type of a hakah. So the Torah is saying you pay for a kaviya, you pay for a chabura, but nezek is a different kind of an action. So how do you know you be chayv for that? But why don't we just say it's like a kal v'chomer? I mean, if you chayv for the tzar for the smaller one, you should be chayv for the tzar for the greater one. Like the one who holds you chayv for the tzar without a makom nezek, without a mark, he holds certainly gonna be chayv with the mark, right? Yeah. So what's the idea here? Well, okay, I hear what you're saying. Alright, so just in terms of logically, how would it seem to be, you'd have to structure it like this. You'd say, you know, this is all under one heading of hachovel, right? It's not like a person's doing two completely separate things at one time. It's not like he is, what's Gemara's case like? A guy is doing many yisurim at once, right? It's not like a case of a guy who's doing many different yisurim at once. You get malchus for each one, right? Like a guy is whatever he's doing. He's chorish with kilayim on Shabbos. So it's two completely separate yisurim, right? One is kilayim, one is malacha. So it'd be no question. Hello? Yeah. Okay. So here it's one mitzvah. It's one heading of a chovel, right? And there are different. You might say like this. There are different maisei chovel, right? There are different ways to violate a chovel. So you have. So the Torah is laying out the different forms of hachovel. So kviya tachas kviya is a maisa. There's a chovel b'tzar, and then there's a chovel b'nezek. So he comes under a different heading. It's a different kind of an attack. So you don't say he's doing two things simultaneously. In other words, there are different actors depending on it's a different degree of the iser depending on how you're doing it. It's not like malacha and kilayim. There are different ways. There are different prototypes of a chovel. So you don't say one is included in the other. You wouldn't say that. You'd say they're different levels, they're different degrees. So each degree, the Torah gives you the onesh. So how do you know that it's cumulative? Yeah, but so what's the idea? But in other words, logically, what are the two ways of structuring the inyan that you're going to be chayev only for nezek, or you're going to be chayev for all? Logically, in terms of the structure of the isurim, in terms of the structure of the din, why would you say you include the lower ones or not? The lower ones, if you do nezek. In other words, it seems to be the question like this. In other words, is it that there are different forms of chovel right? You can be a chovel. There are two levels of chovel. Either you're a chovel, to the guf. So either you're a chovel to the guf, or you're a chovel in the guf. Okay, it's different levels, different madrigos. So there are two different shemos of a chovel. So then you can't apply the dinim of one shame to the other. The dinim of Nez of Tsar and Ripoy and Boshas and Sheves, those are when the person is doing something to the guf. But Nezek is a higher violation of the Gavra. It's treating his guf as a chefza. When you give the guy pain, you're not treating the guf as a chefza. He's still maintaining the identity of the person. It's doing something to him. But Nezek is a higher, you could say, is a higher madrega. It's like a chovel b'shleimuso. That's the ultimate form of chovel, where you turn the guy into just a chefza. Okay? But they're two different shemos of chovel. So then you would say the dinim of one don't include the dinim of the other. It's a higher form. But it seems the isser of chovel, the shame of the chovel is the same. Chiddush is that that there's one shame of chovel, and these other things are just the possible the different ways of being a chovel, but they don't make different. It's not a different. There aren't two categories. There aren't two levels within the shame of a chovel. It's one a chovel. The attack to the underlying gavra is really the shame of the chovel, and there's no more or less. That's a qualitative. That itself is a qualitative stage. Moving against the underlying gavra. And they're just different. Then there are different. In other words, you're really paying for the attack. You're paying for the attack against the gavra, and that is the same no matter what. But whatever that attack includes, that's what you're paying for. So it's cumulative. If the attack included all four or all five, you pay for each one.
Is there anything wrong here that?
Right. In other words, but halachically, the question is there going to be? Do you say that there's a qualitative difference between the four and the nezek, or do you say no? That's just quantitative. The real qualitative change is treating the guy a certain way. The real qualitative change is the shame achovel is any shame chovel, and then they're just manifestations of that. In other words, he's not more of a. In terms of attacking the gavra, he's not more. He's not more or less. It's an indivisible thing. All right. I don't know. We'll have to think about it. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. I'm not really sure. All right. Let's go weiter. Oh, yeah. So Tosfos is just an interesting point, right? L'dom Yuserim. Comes out according to Tosfos that if you hold like Rebbe, right, that what? That you pay tsar b'shalob mokom nezek without a roshem, and you learn the last drasha of a klalu prat. So then it comes out that what? That from kviya, tachas kviya, you really learn that you'll pay even without a roshem, right? So what is Chabura for? So what does Chabura do for you? So Gemara says, L'damam Yisairim. So it reinterprets that to mean an interesting pshat. Now what? Shemashalim b'tzar sheyesh bo roshem yoser mi b'tzar she'ein bo roshem. Afal pi she'ein b'tzar b'zeh yoser mi b'zeh. Mashalim yoser l'fi she'mizgana machmas ha'roshem. That what? That even if two people get hit and they experience the same exact pain, but one leaves a mark and one doesn't leave a mark, so there's an extra payment for the one who leaves the mark. Even though there's no more pain. Even though there's no more pain. Why? Because it's more embarrassing. He is shemisgane machmas aroshim. He becomes disgusting. Yeah, but who cares?
He becomes
disgusting.
But he gets embarrassed because of the disgustingness.
No, it doesn't mean. What is this? What's the problem? Shemisgane. He becomes meguna.
Like it adds. It's like still in the sphere of tsar, though. It's not like.
What type of tsar is that, though?
So you said that he gets embarrassed by it. That would have been tsar.
Well, I don't know. It's not physical pain here. He says it specifically. Says Shemeshalim b'sashi afal pi she'ein mitztayer b'zeh yosem yivzeh. So there's no more tsar, but there's a genai. There's a genai. Huh? It's part of the experience. What can you identify it?
There is that, like if you experience this.
It's hard to identify it exactly, but it's a psychological element. Certainly there's some psychological element over here. Right, so you're saying when you pay, saying without the Roshem, you pay just for the experience of the pain. The physical experience. The physiological experience. Right? But when there's a Roshem, he says you pay not only that, but some psychological elements. Some psychological elements. It's not Boshas. Boshas is not a psychological thing. Boshas is in the realm of ego. Boshas is in the realm of your Boshas is not a psychological pain. It's a degradation. Degradation is not a psychological pain. Can we define that a little bit more clearly? Anyone? No, it's definitively speaking, what you're saying that what's the din of tsar? The din of tsar is that you chayev for the non-physical effects of your maisa, right? Because the maisa, tsar is a non-physical effect in the gavra, correct? So that's the din of tsar. That but you chayev for the non-physical effect in the gavra. So it's like we say by mazik. You're not chayav for the non-physical effects in the cheftza. Mom and hezek shein u'nikar, you're not chayav for the non-physical effects. But by the gavra, you are chayav for the non-physical effect of your maisa. The chiddush of chabura is that you're also chayav for the non-physical effects of what? Of the what? In other words, is that what? That if your maisa has a physical effect of a roshem, you're even chayev for that. In other words, it's extending the chiyuv, saying not only the non-physical effects of the maisa, but even the non-physical effects of the chabura. Exactly what that is, I'm not 100% sure, but that's the extension. I think it's not just tsar alone would be. You say, well, your maisa had an effect in his guf. It had an effect in his pain center, right? But to say that. That you be chayav for the effects of the roshem, that's a separate chiddush. But it's in the same realm. It's in the same realm, not only of maisa, but of what you made. Not only of the act, but even the non-physical effect of what you created.
Because the roshem isn't like Like, it's not really the tzar per se, it's just
it's a separate mechayev. In other words, it's another mechayev of paying. Not only is the mechayev the maisa, but the mechayev is even though we first evaluate, in other words, it's the non-physical effects of the complete maisa. You understand? What? I'm saying the roshim is a new mechayev. It's a non-physical effects of the entire maisa. But first you judge you have to look at the entire maisa first. You have to look at the maisa physically first. The maisa physically included the roshim. So now you chayev tsar on the entire entity of the maisa. In other words, the question is, are you going to, when you're judging the effect of the maisa, when you're judging the maisa, he's saying you include the roshem as in terms, you include the roshem. The roshem is not simply an effect. Right? You don't say there were two effects. There was the hakah, right? That's the cause, and then two separate effects: the roshem and the tzar. And we pay for the effect of your maisa. Right? He's saying Chabura tells you that you define what he did first completely as not just hitting but creating Chabura. You understand? And then it's the tsar of that entire thing. So that's also gonna have to take into account any effects of the Chabura itself. You understand? The underlying idea of tsar is that you're paying for the effect of the non-physical effect of a physical thing. Right? The hit is a physical thing, and the tsar is not. So the underlying idea is you pay for the torment of the non-physical torment of the physical maisa. But the question is do you include the chiddush of chabur tachas chabur is that you judge what he did first completely in the physical realm. You say he did not just nasi of hitting, he did the creation of chabura. Now we have to judge all of the effects of the entire thing that he did, which would include the impact and the roshim. Now whatever type of gnai, whatever type of psychological torment there is associated with the fact that he's misgana is also going to be included. As what I meant to say before is that bosh is not a physical pain. Means say is it's not a feeling of pain. It's a psychological feeling of pain. Bosh is embarrassing. It's not because it's painful. That's not why we you don't pay for bosh because it's painful. You pay for bosh because there's a certain psychological devaluation of the gavra. There's a certain, in terms of societal, a certain societal devaluation of the gavra. He's been lowered. He's been lowered not in a physical sense, but in the social sense. Right? But this tsar is an experiential pain. But it's a psychological pain, like a panic. You understand? Like a person gets something along those lines. Have to think about exactly what it would be, but it's not the it's not a social reduction, huh? As I'm trying to work out miskana and boshes, I'm not sure if he means that he's miskana means to say he's embarrassed to walk around with a bruise, or if it means to say, like you guys are saying, that it amplifies a certain, it adds a certain element of a psychological pain as opposed to just a physiological pain. I'm not sure, but yeah, go ahead. Right. Ben Azai doesn't hold this because he holds the chabura is there just to define what type of a maisa we're talking about. Right. The chabura is there just to define what type of a maisa we're talking about. That's only chayev for the non-physical effects of your maisa, but your maisa has to have a certain quality first. Right? So that itself is a chiddush. In other words, The chiddush of tsar is the chay for the non-physical effects of your physical maisa. Right. So if you hold like Ben Azai that you're not chay without a roshem, right? So then the roshem is qualifies what type of a maisa you have. But if you hold like Rebbe that the maisa is the maisa even without a roshem is good. So what's the addition of the roshem? Right. You didn't hear what I was saying. Okay, let's go. Feels like we're never going to get out of the tsar problems. What? No. Okay, there's plenty to say, but not by me. Go ahead. Tsar, let's take the Gemara. Tsar b'makom nezek heichi shayminan. This line kept me up a few nights already. What does this mean? Let's take the Gemara. So first of all, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says everything's very easy in the Mishnah. How do you figure out tsar? How do you figure out tsar? Omdin kama adam kiyotzi bozeh rotze lito lios mitztayerkach. How much would a person like this want to take to be pained like this? And Rashi says, like this. Lefi mashehu. Ma'unag lefi mashehu, how he is, right? Ma'unag rav tsaro v'ko'evo. Lefi mashehu ma'unag rav tsaro v'ko'evo, right? The more ma'unag he is, the more tsar he has. Yeah. So what do you do? Rashi and the Mishnah. Yeah. Right? Adam kiyotzi b'zeh. Yeah. Nothing. Just as Rashi. Now, what does it mean, Adam kiyotzi b'zeh? You take into account how delicate he is. How delicate a person is he? So the more delicate he is, the more pain he feels. Yeah. And you have to figure out, kama Adam kiyotzi b'zeh rotza litol yos mitztayer kach. And that's what you pay him, apparently. Right? So what kind of an idea is that? What type of a measurement is this? Type of a measurement. You don't do this by any of the other things. You don't do anything like this. Right? Nezek is an objective thing. Because it's damim. We translate into damim. Ripoy and sheves also are monetary. You figure out what the loss is. You'll say, what about boshes? Strangely enough, there's no real formula given to figure out boshes. It just says Hakol Lefiyam Avayish Rav Mizbayish. Doesn't say you figure out Kama Adam Kozer Rotsa Lito Lios Mizbayish Be Adam Kazu. Doesn't say that. Just says I don't know what to do. Honestly, don't know what to do. You look at the Rambam Shulchan Aruch. Nobody really gives you a clear way of saying it. You just try to figure out how embarrassing it is, and then assign some dollar figure to it. I'm just making an observation. You don't do anything like that by boshes. Only by here we say how much would a person want to take lios mitztayerkach. So what are we doing what are we getting to when we do that? What are we accomplishing by asking this question? No, you don't say by boshes how much would you don't say figure out boshes by asking how much would a person take to be to have this done to him. You just say, you figure out how embarrassing it is. Right? But over here, you don't just say, you figure out how painful it is. The very figuring it out seems to be in a monetary sense. Right?
So you don't have an opinion that tells you to go by him.
Translating. I mean, it's like they're really trying to translate tsar into a commodity, right? Like, what's the sale price of your tsar? How much would you need to be compensated to go through this tsar? And that's the value of this tsar. It's like, what's the value of anything? You say, how much of I see something that you have that I want. How much would you need to be compensated in dollars to lose that thing? Right. So now it's saying, how much would you want? How much would you? In other words, giving up your object is something that's non-desirable, right? So you have to take something desirable to suffer it, right? You don't just want to give away your thing, favorite thing. So you figure out, you got to induce the guy to give it up. How do you induce him? You induce it with money. So going through this pain is a non-desirable thing. We want to know what's the price on it. How much would it take for you? There's like a happiness and sadness quotient in everybody, right? How much money to raise up your happiness quotient will it take to balance out the sadness quotient of suffering the tsar? Like a funny kind of a...
It's even practical, like, I mean, there's no objective system, so how, I mean...
Well, we don't really, it's not really, we don't really take the guy's word for it. There is an omed. The Beis Din has to come up with some sort of a determination. They have to interview the guy and talk to him and find out his level of pain tolerance and this and that. And the Rambam says even take into account all of his money and everything. I have to take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam is strange. But then at the end he says then Beis Din has to give an omed. They have to figure it out. They have to come up with it. And apparently for the Roshem they'd also have to just tack on a number that they feel like they do by Boshas. By Boshas they just take a look at the picture and they have to use their estimates and say what is this? What's the dollar sign that would be commensurate to this, right? Yeah. So that's what you do. That's what you do when what? You're turning the pain into like a the way you evaluate the pain is sort of like what would it cost to buy it? What would it cost to buy it? Meaning, what would it take to induce you to experience it? Right? So that's the general pain, but that's the pain without any nezek. So when it comes to the pain with the nezek, now the Gemara is baffled. Take a look. Hey chishai minon. So what does Rashi say? Go ahead. Who wants to read? Tsar b'makom nezek. Go ahead. The first.
Okay.
No, the tsar b'makom nezek. I saw that one. So what happened already? You cut off the guy's arm and you paid him for it. Okay, that's fair. Now, hey chishai minon. Why? Go ahead.
Hey chishai minon. It's a tsar.
Yeah.
Who would
know,
right?
The Nizak took it.
Right.
So, this is one of these things, like, on the face of it, makes no sense at all. What are you talking about? Yeshlo Lakotza. First of all, it's gone already. There's no Yeshlo Lakotza anymore. Right? And maybe the guy wouldn't sell you his arm at all. Maybe he never would sell you his arm at all. And maybe if he would sell you his arm, he'd also say, plus you got to pay me for the tsar. I mean, what is going on over here? Like Lima Freya, now the guy, now it's like the guy has a right to cut off his arm. It's, the whole thing is strange. But one second. But what's stranger is, according to Rashi, I don't see how the Gemara ever really answers this question exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You're understanding that what's he saying? He's saying
what is the nature of this question? Good. Yeah. But this is not a question. According to Rashi, this is not a question of how do you know you're chayev to pay tsar b'makom nezek. You know you chayev to pay tzar b'makom nezek from petzachas potza. This is like, Rashi seems to be learning like a practical question. Like, how do we do the shuma? What does that have to do with how do we do the shuma? Heichi shai minan. Heichi shai minan is, how can we do a shuma like this?
I thought the question was, when there's no nezek, and I said, how much would you want to have this done to you, then it's just going to be for the tzar. When there's
right.
nezek, then
he's not going to be able to separate. You say, how much do you need that? You can't say to have this pain done to you.
Yeah, but then the Gemara should just jump right to that question. That shouldn't have been heichi shayminan. But Rashi should say, according to you, heichi shayminan hare how kulu chamesh dvar miko. Rashi's saying, like, heichi shayminan. Rashi seems to be learning that once you apply the Shuma of Nezek, somehow that precludes a Shuma of Tzar. And what is that whole concept? What does that mean? That since he took the money, he has a, now this guy has a right to take his hand. What kind of a wild fantasy world is that? What? The guy doesn't have a hand. What are we talking about? The guy doesn't have a hand. What are we talking about, huh? Somehow, because you paid for the Nezek, Rashi sounds like he's saying, once you pay for the Nezek, now we cannot apply a Shum of Tzar anymore. It's too late. Right, it's too late. See, Rashi and the Chumash is different, because Rashi and the Chumash says, why should you pay Tzar B'Makom Nezek? Since you paid him for the arm, you have a right to take it any way you want, he says. Maskan is, no, you don't have a right to take it any way you want. You have to take it with some, so now you took it without some. Right, meaning to say, that's like a question of why are you chayev at all? Why should you be chayev? That's not the way Rashi's learning it over here. Because Rashi over there includes that in Pesach as Potza, in the Chumash. I don't really know what Rashi and the Chumash is different than Rashi in the Shas over here. But over here his question is a different question. This Gemara is not the question of why are you chayev. It's a question of how do you actually come to the Shuma? How do you practically implement? The Gemara seems to be asking if you're going to implement the methodology of the Mishnah where there's no Nezek. The Gemara seems to be asking that it's impossible to simply implement the same methodology that the Mishnah has when there's no Nezek to a case of when there is Nezek. But why? I mean, he did five things to this guy. So the Nezek compensates him for the loss of the arm. And the Tzar compensates him for the loss of for the experience of Tzar. Just because I paid him for the arm, now I had the right to give him Tzar? The whole thing seems preposterous. Now let's say you did these five things to the guy, and you got to make a payment for each one. It's not like once I paid him Nezek, now we go back in time, and I made a deal with the guy that he has to give me his arm. So now we go ahead in time, we say, hey, what right do you have to ask me for Tzar? We already made a deal. What is that? That's not what happened. This guy was blindsided and unwilling, and was a victim of losing his arm, experiencing tremendous pain, and whatever. It's not like he made a deal and now he's got to keep his word. You right?
That's why you need God.
Right. You need a king. Right. What's the whole idea of calling it a kinyan? What is that? That's a wild idea. Not a kinyan. You compensate the guy.
Huh?
Well, what does he say over here? He says, "Heicha dekotas yadav enoson lo domeha, halo yesh lo lekotza b'shvil hadomim shenotel." Yeah, what does that mean? What right does this guy have? Now this guy has rights. I mean, the Ram says you're not allowed to be mazik somebody's property and pay. It's an isser. You're not allowed to be mazik a guy's property and pay. You can't say because I pay now I had a right to do it. And what does that mean? Hello, yeshu lo lekot sabshul adam shenodol. What kind of a deal would that be? Now he's saying what? That when I pay for the tzar, when I pay for the nezek, it's now as if we made a deal. It's as if we made a deal. It's as if I had a right to cut off your arm. That's a strange way of looking at things. And why would you look at something that way? In what sense is that? Well, what is that? How does that make sense? Well, just because I'm paying for something doesn't mean I had a right to destroy it. On the contrary, I didn't. It seems like Rashi's learning, like the payment of the nezek, right, has halachically has what effect? Seems like he's learning that the payment of the nezek has an effect. The payment of the nezek is really, knows, let's say a guy really did pay for the arm and had a right to take it, right? So then when he takes the arm, it would be as of right, right? And it would not be a maisa of a chovel, even though the Gemara says later, if you pay a guy and he agrees to let you take his arm, you're not allowed to do it because he's not really mochel, right? But the point is, it sounds like Rashi's learning that the payment now halachically removes the shame chovel from the gavra. That's part of what the, you have to look at what the scheme of payments is doing halachically. They're saying halachically, this set of onshim as kapara, the payment removes the shame chovel, and it hasn't removed the shame chovel because it is a type of a tashlumim, right? But it's not a tashlumim for his loss, it's a tashlumim in terms of undoing the nature, in terms of transforming the nature of the maisa. But one second, but he says, but if you're going to look at it that way in truth, if you're really going to look at it that way, in order to remove the shame chovel of the mazik, that would preclude a payment of tzar. In other words, this has nothing to do with the reality of what occurred. This has to do with the consistency in the dinim of the tashlumim. That in the logic of the tashlumim, there's going to be contradictions. Not in really what happened. Really what happened, the guy suffered much, much more than he was a victim, and he didn't make any deals. But halachically, the tashlumim have a certain character, and apparently the Gemara is trying to work out how the tashlumim are consistent. Right? You have two. There's two problems over here. Why is it? There's two problems. One problem is, why doesn't one tashlumim? Apparently, there's an idea of a certain overall consistency to restoring the chovel back to a as a kapara for the chovel. And there's sort of like making the nizak. In other words, they all are a part. All five of these payments are part of one consistent concept. There can't be an inconsistency within them. Okay? That's the first problem. And then the Gemara goes into the second problem, is that there can't be an overpayment for either one. There's a problem of finding the balance between not being consistent, between an inconsistency and an overpayment. We'll have to try to work it through. Huh? We'll have to figure out the details more carefully. I'll leave it till Monday.